Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Football Talk from the Yorkshire Post, where we'll be discussing some of the latest talking points from the world of football with members of our football writing team. On this week's episode, we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Leon Wapshaw, to discuss all of the latest developments affecting our local clubs. Don't forget you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging on to our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, as well as checking out our various Twitter feeds, the main one being at @YPSport. If you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. And if you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com.
yorkshirepost.co.uk.
As mentioned early in the intro, this week we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Leon Wapshaw. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Right, this week we saw Hull City claim all 3 points in their 3-1 victory over Cardiff City. Middlesbrough claimed their third win in 5 games with a 2-0 win over Swansea City. Barnsley fell to a 2-1 defeat against Charlton Athletic before playing out another 2-1 defeat, but this time at the hands of Stevenage. Bradford City came away with all 3 points when they beat Gillingham 1-0 and unfortunately had their game against Barrow called off due to a waterlogged pitch. Doncaster Rovers sealed their 6th consecutive victory by beating Morecambe, which was then followed by a 2-1 victory when they clashed with Walsall, which now takes them to 7 consecutive league wins. And Harrogate Town left their game against Notts County empty-handed after losing 3-0, which was followed by a 1-0 victory when they welcomed Grimsby Town. However, let's start with Rotherham United, whose relegation was confirmed after falling to a 1-0 defeat when they welcomed Plymouth Argyle to the New York Stadium. Now, what does Liam Richardson and his side do for the remainder of the season, knowing that their fate has been confirmed? And what was your assessment of the game, Stuart?
Well, Liam Richardson, very big, Liam, tell you this as well, very big on talking about culture and all this sort of thing, and habits is another big buzzword of his. So really, these last 5 games are about entrenching some of those things he needs to do for next season, getting them, finding out who's really got the stomach for the battle. You know, you wouldn't be, let's put it this way, you wouldn't be gobsmacked if a couple of people who had little niggles were suddenly not available for these games. These games coming up with nothing riding on them. You know, really make some decisions about who's coming with him and how they're going to go about it. Because it's been a really disappointing season for Rotherham United. You know, we all know that Rotherham aren't in the same financial league as most of the clubs in the Championship. That's just fact. You know, there's a lot of clubs in there. I think it's something like 20 clubs, something like that, who've played in the Premier League before. Never mind the First Division, which obviously Rotherham haven't, and all the financial advantages that come with it. But the biggest disappointment for me this season is that we very, very rarely actually seen Rotherham at their best. A lot of that is down to injuries. They've got to get to the bottom of that. I think their recruitment policy needs to be a bit more focused on robustness. I think they've sacrificed that a bit over the last couple of years to try and bring in Championship experience. There's been a lot said, quite rightly, about their training facilities. They need to be better, I think. You know, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but they clearly need to have a good look at the medical department and all of that sort of thing. And they just, you know, at times it's felt like they haven't really believed that they could compete at this level, certainly in the second half of the season as things have got worse. I mean, I was fortunate enough this season to see them draw with Leeds, draw with Ipswich Town, you know, and at times like that, you could see what they're capable of. You could see the spirit was there, but you know, to take that Plymouth game, they're obviously on the back of a good win against Millwall. They started the game reasonably well, but as soon as they conceded 32 minutes in, even though they were playing a Plymouth side who had big problems themselves, were in really poor form, you know, first match under a caretaker manager, it just felt like everyone in the ground, including those in red shirts, just felt there was a sort of inevitability about things. And it's been that it's been that sort of lack of the characteristic Rotherham fight that's been really disappointing, and that they have to get back. And it feels like they've been worn down by circumstances. And even when Liam Richardson came in December, it already felt things were heading in one direction. But too many of those circumstances, they have contributed to us a club. And I think they need to really sort of look at the infrastructure to make sure that I'm sure they're capable of coming back up, but I think they need to come back up in a much more sustainable, robust way. And that might actually take a couple of seasons, but it's worth that effort to just stop this yo-yoing that they've got involved in.
Yeah, I'd agree with all that. I think in the here and now, Rotherham have, they've just got to play out the season. I mean, I think first of all, get a side out there and a side of players who, who have care and pride and professionalism about the profession. I mean, I think it's fair to say, and normally, well, nearly all of the time after relegation, there's a big sort of change around in the summer, and I think there'll be a major one at Rotherham at the end of the season. I think there needs to be. There's a lot of players out of contract. And, I'm sure one or two of the leading, Victor Johansson, I'm sure he'll be moving on. And he certainly earned a move, hasn't he? So I think going forward, there's probably only if, given the damaging season that they've had, it's difficult to sort of say now, on the first day of next season, how many of those players, will be in, striding out on the first day. I'd probably say not so many at the moment, but there and now they've got to play out the games, try and get some pride in performance, stay in games, and hopefully for their sake not have a couple more of the sort of savage beatings that they've had. But it's going to be a huge summer for Rotherham. There's all sorts of problems that Stuart's touched upon. There's the issues with the training ground. I think the Diggers have already been in this week, haven't they? And the starting there. Issues with recruitment. There's the medical side of it, players being more durable. And they just look to me, I mean, I know a few times Rotherham have gone down and gone straight back up, but I think there was always going to be some point where you sort of think to yourself, well, they've gone down again. They're going to need a bit of time to readjust and find the feet at back in League One, which is probably there. I don't think it's being disrespectful to that. Probably say that you sort of think about Rotherham and they're probably a top-end League One side, potentially bottom Championship side. But really, you look at the history, it's probably, top-end League One. They need a few years, I think, to really sort themselves out. Touching on the culture that Richardson's big on, the ethos. Get a team playing in the Rotherham United way. Try and get some young players coming through the system. So they realign their sort of recruitment, really. It's been a bit, you look at them over the sort of last year or so, it's a bit sort of jammed today, going for sort of Championship names, but, players who've haven't got much of a shelf life. They need to have an identity, I think, in terms of the recruitment as well. I look at teams like Peterborough, I look at teams like Lincoln even. Peterborough, they have markets that they tap into, lower division markets, sometimes non-league markets, sometimes, they've got good contacts with some clubs higher up in terms of taking them on loan. I look at Lincoln and it's similar. I was speaking to somebody the other week. They brought quite a few players in from Ireland and looked at that market as well, and Scotland, and just being a bit more, I suppose, a bit more ingenuity in the market. I mean, Rotherham can't. They probably struggle to compete for sort of top end League One players with the money structure, don't they? Really, and they've made some mistakes in the market. It's fair to say, and they're going to be still saddled with one or two of those next season. So, yeah, I think recruitment's going to be massive. Liam Richardson spoke the other month, didn't he, about this bottoming out process. There might be more pain to come, and there might be. you know, even next season, start of next season, and you wonder if it has, does have implications for Richardson, because he's taken, not necessarily through that much fault of his own, he's taken a lot of punishment in the second half of this season. If they start off next season poorly, he's going to get a lot of flack, isn't he? But I still maintain he's not the big, he's not the big problem there. But they just look a team who need, you know, if they have another season next year to go back up, how much will it, how much will it achieve, and how much will they have learned and be ready to have a proper go at the Championship in a year or so's time? I'm not so sure. I think they've just got too many sort of long-term, sort of medium to long-term problems at the minute that they need to, that they need to solve, and that'll, you know, a couple of seasons, two or three seasons in League One to sort of reevaluate themselves. I think that's more important than the sugar rush of an instant promotion last year and next season, and then going around in circles again.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I agree with what Leon says about their sort of natural position is top end League One. I mean, there's loads of teams in the pyramid who are not in their natural position, you know, in a positive or a negative way. But, you know, you look at clubs like Luton Town, for example, they're not a natural Premier League club. But the point is that to get to that level, they've had to do an awful lot behind the scenes to build it up. It's not simply been a case of, of winning a few games, and that's the work that needs to be done. It's going to need a lot of investment, probably from Tony Stewart in the short term. You know, he's certainly not a poor man, but he's not sort of one of the rich, you know, chairman by the standards of modern football. So he's going to have to dig deep, and there's going to have to be a lot of patience, because a lot of the work that we've just talked about, we won't see the benefits on the field for quite a long time. So. It's going to need, the fans are going to need to be persuaded that the club's going in the right direction. There's going to need to be a lot of communication about this is why we're doing what we're doing. And, you know, the board themselves are going to have to be patient with Liam Richardson, as Leon's already alluded, if results aren't forthcoming, to know that he's in charge, you know, that him and Rob Kelly are sort of leading the overall direction in the right way. But I do agree with Leon. It's hard to stomach as a supporter, but it might just need two or three seasons of just bottoming out, just keeping things stable on the playing side, rather than reaching ahead and working really hard on these things behind the scenes. It does feel like they've really caught up with Rotherham this season, having done so well last season to stay up.
I think this was always probably going to, I think people who sort of observed Rotherham United over the years probably thought, you know, there's a good chance that this was going to happen at some point. This sort of cycle of, you know, going up, going down, going up, it would finally break, and they would find themselves back into in League One, and this sort of day would come where they would have to look at, you know, the longer medium term issues surrounding the club. And you look at the players who'll probably leave. I mean, there'll be a lot of the players out of contract, I'm sure, will go. Victor Johansson, you look at some of the others as well, you know, likes of Ollie Rathbone and a Doffin, who've not done too badly. I don't think they'll be keen to particularly stay on in League One, and they'll be wanting to go to trying to remain in the Championship if you can. And, you know, I think Rotherham will take a hit as well in terms of financing going down. I mean, it's, I think it's roughly, what, 6-7 million, is it, something like that? So, you know, any assets, any money that they can get, unfortunately, they're going to have to, you know, if they're going to get some sort of budget to try and rebuild, you know, along with the players who are out of contract, you know, all the players with a bit of value will probably go as well, it's fair to say. And obviously having to spend money on you know, the infrastructure as well, and that's going to be a fair bit. So yeah, they just really do look, obviously the relegation, a club in transition, who've got to find themselves again, and that takes time, and for me it's more important than just going straight back up.
And next we look to the Premier League, where Sheffield United first fell to a 3-1 defeat in a battling display, but it wasn't enough to stop the Blades from falling to defeat, however. This was then followed up by an astonishing 2-2 draw with Chelsea, thanks to a 93rd minute equaliser from Ollie McBurnie. Now, chances of them staying up are slim, but how important is it for the fans to see these types of performances, Leon?
Yeah, I mean, myself and Stuart have touched on it a few times. Stuart's seen a fair bit more than I have, but we've spoken about just showing some pride and fight and some performances to buy into, and they've had those in the main, haven't they? They've had one or two disappointments as well, but you know, performances more in the Sheffield United way, if you like, you know, some entertainment as well. You know, the Fulham game, the Chelsea game with the drama of, you know, McBurnie scoring near the end. I did the Liverpool game, and I thought they were decent for fair parts of that, and they should certainly have scored in the first minute, and that would have been interesting. But there were things to take, and you know, in the individuals as well, it's been good to see Ollie Arblaster. He made his first start against Fulham, and then he's, you know, his first away start at Anfield, and you know what an occasion that must have been for him. He's backed it up with obviously starting against Chelsea. So that young man, you know, he's had a great spring, hasn't he? He's played for England's the young England teams and scored in the Czech Republic, and he's making a name for himself. And yeah, there's obviously a lot of players out of contract there in the summer as well, and you know, a few of them will. There's obviously this Sheffield United's position and league status, and I think, yeah, it's going to be a long shot for them to survive. Players out of contract, they're thinking about the future. They want to put their hand up and earn themselves a new deal at Sheffield United, give themselves the best chance. They've got all that to consider. A lot of players out, you know, there's like the Ben Osbournes and the you know, Bogles and a few more as well. So yeah, I think it's been encouraging in that regard. You know, three draws is better than three losses, and you know, these are probably some of the sort of performances that I was probably more expecting to see from Sheffield United when things got underway. I mean, unfortunately, they've had too many of these sort of horror episodes, and seeing the bellies tickled far too many times. But yeah, a little bit of hope and a little bit of pride. So that's got to be applauded in what's been a pretty rough season so far.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back to what Leon was saying about Rotherham, about sorting out the youth side of things. That's one thing that Sheffield United have that Rotherham haven't really found this season. In Arblaster, in Brooks, Andre Brooks, people like this, there's at least a couple of players you can build something on going forward.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot to mention with regards to Rotherham, but that really leapt out at me, was that there's 27 times this season Rotherham haven't been able to name a full bench.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and you just feel that's, for a football club, that's a missed opportunity to just get a few young lads involved and kick it on. Obviously, managers don't want to treat it as an act of charity. And if you know, neither Matt Taylor nor Liam Richardson felt there were the players there who merited it, then they were probably right not to put them on the bench. But if you do have, you know, just one or two young players coming through, it means so much to a football club. You know, you see what, you know, Bailey Cadamarshi's done for Sheffield Wednesday this season. You know, you see the excitement around Matteo Joseph at Leeds United. If you've got these young players, I mean, let's be honest about it, there'll be big clubs sniffing around Arblaster in the summer. So it's not an absolute guarantee that they'll be able to keep him. But if they are able to rebuild around this core of young players who really understand what the club's about, you know, love the club, it can take you a long way forward. And Leon's dead right to sort of name Arblaster as one of the really big positives for Sheffield United. But it's just an attitude thing, you know. As he said, three draws in four games, it's not exactly, you know, stuff to get the bunting out about, but it is progress, and it does show a bit of fight, and that's what you want more than anything as football supporters. I think everyone, you know, all the Bramall Lane season ticket holders, all the Sheffield United fans knew that this was going to be a difficult ask this season, and that, you know, even if they sort of played to their best, they'd still be struggling to stay up. But it's been the nature of some of the sort of sporadic defeats that's been so hard to take there, and the fact that they are showing a bit of backbone and they are getting stuck in is something to cling to, because they are another club who are going to be in transition this summer.
Yeah, they're just wanting some support, some things to hang on to for next season, aren't they? So a little bit of a you know, hope going forward, because you know, it'll be a tough season for them next year with the parachute payments. It's difficult to think about the whole makeup of the side so far, but you know, Arblaster and Brooks, Asula, you know, they're providing some welcome hope there, and it's good to see. Long may it continue, and you know, for them to get something out of this season in terms of their personal development, you know, they're all young lads at the start of their career, you know, that's going to be really beneficial for them.
And next this week, we return to the Championship and look to Huddersfield Town, who claimed a vital 3 points in their fight for survival in their 1-0 victory over Millwall, which was followed by a 4-1 defeat when they clashed with Preston North End, which now sees them outside the relegation zone on goal difference only. Now, what did you make of the two performances, and how significant are the two results, Leon?
Well, the performance against Millwall, it was one of those games. I think you just get them from time to time, especially this year. And you know, given the opponents that Town were playing, obviously Millwall down there. Stuart touched on the fact that they'd lost it at Rotherham, first side to lose against them since I think it was Boxing Day, wasn't it? So they're down there. It's one of those where it was just all about the result for me. People talk about performances, this, that and the other, but just get the 3 points however it came. It was a rotten day weather-wise. The wind was swirling all over the place. Millwall weren't particularly interested in going forward much in the second half. Their stall was certainly, second half, was to get the point, which you know would have been a good point from their perspective. They had a little bit of a go in the first half, but there was nothing major really, and he just sense for Town's well-being that they had to win that. He was Brighton Wright who was speaking before the game in the press conference about, well, it's not a must-win, and it wasn't. It's not mathematically, but I certainly thought, and probably if you'd asked quite a few Huddersfield fans as well, for the psychological sort of well-being, they just had to win that. You know, they're not winning, I think, five or six games, so. They managed to do that right in the nick of time. Brighton Wright spoke about everyone having to make a contribution, whether it's 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes. And, you know, big moment for Reece Healy, who obviously been out with his groin injury for a fair while after joining the club. Which, you know, there's nothing worse than that, is that you join a club wanting to make an impact. You've had a frustrating season. Then, bang, you get a groin injury on your full debut. So he's managed to, you know, come off the bench on Good Friday, got his goal, and got a huge one for Town against Millwall. So yeah, they had to win that. I think everyone's gonna. I mean, I've done it in my match report as well. The sort of death by draws element. You know, they go on to the game at Preston, and you know, a point would have been a great point, wouldn't it? And it was obviously looked to be in their sort of grasp late on. Obviously, Preston equalised in the second half after Caroma had given the Town the lead. You know, you sort of think, yeah, if you could just get a point there, then you'll take that to Bristol City, and things look a little bit better. But you know, as important psychologically Saturday was with the victory, you just hope that. You know, the punch that they... Well, they had several punches, didn't they, at the end at Preston? You know, the lad scoring a hat-trick late on. You wonder how damaging that will be, and you just hope it won't be. I mean, obviously, there's other results. There's other games that will be at the bottom, which will have happened by the time this podcast is up. But you just hope for Town's sake, well, and hope for Sheffield Wednesday as well, that they can find themselves, you know, by the close of play, just outside that bottom three position. But you know, we'll have to wait and see on that count. But you know, let's hope they can get something at Bristol City. But I look at Town's remaining fixtures, and those two home games. You know, if they're going to stay up, I think most of the points they're going to have to come at home. They've got Swansea. They've got huge football match against Birmingham at the end of the month. You know, it looks to me, I think there's a fair chance that Town are probably going to have to win both of them, because you don't want to be going to Ipswich needing to win to stay up.
Yeah, it just felt, you worry that, as I say, Saturday felt like such a step forward. They really needed that win. I mean, you look at the league table, and there's only them and Rotherham who aren't into double figures for wins this season. So it felt like a really important psychological hurdle. But I remember Leon saying on this podcast months and months ago, making a very good point about how difficult they find it to back up performances in midweek games in particular.
And that
really did feel like it, you know, it came home. Not seeing the game, I was at Hillsborough, sort of watching on from afar, but that really did feel like a salient point. I guess the key thing for them now is it's Saturdays all the way. So it's one big effort a week. And we've seen quite a few of these games where a game's really escalated away from a team. I mean, Huddersfield were the beneficiaries, of course, against Sheffield Wednesday, where, you know, one late goal can suddenly really amplify the scoreline. So hopefully, the fact that it's happened a few times, they're able to maybe deal with it a bit better and get their heads around it. But it will be interesting to see how they sort of respond to that against Bristol City, because it did feel really positive. You know, I was at the press conference on the Monday, wasn't it, before the game. It just felt like a more positive place, and you worry that that's been wiped away so quickly. I mean, I was sort of going to that, well, actually, you know, ignoring what Leon had said earlier, thinking, well, actually playing on a Tuesday on the back of such a good result, this is a real opportunity, you know, to build some momentum. But, you know, we know that they're not in the best shape as a squad, in terms of they've got lots of injuries, and a lot of the players who are fit aren't fit to play 90 minutes. So it does make those midweek games particularly challenging for you. But Saturday now. Hopefully they can, you know, have some really good weeks putting the planning in and really giving it everything. And as Leon says, really cashing in on those home games, because they do feel like they're going to be crucial for them.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. What Stuart's made, it's just difficult at the minute with Brighton. Right, he's got players there who can't do. They clearly can't do 90 minutes, can they? He's obviously Healy. He's spoken a few times about the fact that, you know, really at the minute it's half an hour, isn't it? That's the limit what he can play. Put it Radulovic as well. He has struggled to get consistent 90 minutes into him as well, and you know, at least obviously the Saturday format will, you know, let's hope that obviously Jack Radoni's been out with a hamstring niggle. Maybe he might be back in the fray potentially a week on Saturday. Not sure about Jonathan Hogg, Tom Lees as well. You know, they can be big players who can make an impact, even if it's just for two or three games right at the end of the season. Bulk has been out as well, but yeah, it's going to be a massive. It's going to take a massive team effort if Huddersfield are just going to creep over the line. And I think, you know, we'll probably maybe go on to speak about this in the next couple of weeks. It's important for the fans. It's important for fans for every club now, isn't it, to hold the nerve. You know, if you had a look at social media on Tuesday night, if you were foolish to, really, you should leave it alone, to be honest. You know, the amount of panic, I think it's fair to say, from Leeds supporters, Huddersfield supporters, Barnsley supporters was a little bit scary at times. And, you know, I went to Huddersfield on Saturday and there was, you know, something I didn't like, and Brighton Wrighter was right to say it as well. You know, one of their own players getting booed in the first half, which Ben Jackson, he was making his first start since, I think it was the end of, his first start under Brighton Wrighter, his first, I think it was his first start for a couple of months, and you know, he was getting jeered in the first half, which was, he wasn't having a great game, you know, to be fair, and he was rusty. But there's nothing to gain at all from, you know, hitting a young player's confidence like that. He got a booking, he came off at half-time. So you've got as much, you know, the players at Huddersfield, everyone's going to have to put their hand up somewhere, whether it's 5 minutes, whatever it is. The supporters as well need to, just got to stick with it. You know, one or two players got, Jaheim Headley got a bit of a stick in the second half. Tom Edwards, when he came on as well, he, you know, there was one moment where he played a crossfield pass, he got it wrong, and, you know, it happens to everyone, doesn't it? And it was the precursor to, you know, some real loud boos, which, you know, you just don't want to see. And that's, he called it out afterwards, Brighton Rice, and he was right too. So, you know, it's a lesson for all the clubs down there, all the, those at the top. You just got to, there's a part of this time of the season where you just got to, you've got to hold your nerve and get behind them.
Yeah, it's you know, it's easy to say, it's difficult to do. You can understand.
Yeah,
nobody wants Huddersfield to stay up more than the people in that ground. So you can understand why they get frustrated, but it really does make a difference. And if they can just, you know, bottle it up and get behind the team, it's so important. You know, it was the same at Hillsborough on Tuesday. They conceded a couple of sloppy goals. There were, you know, quite a lot of boos, ironic cheers when finally Beadle, the teenage goalkeeper, kicked the ball long rather than faffing about with it at the back. And I get the frustration. You can't be all holier than thou. We all feel like that about our teams because we care so much about them, and you know, the regulars even more so. But you know, you could see it spread a nervousness around the Sheffield Wednesday team, and then, you know, by contrast, when they made a quadruple substitution and Callum Patterson brought a bit of energy, that really lifted the crowd, and that in turn lifted Sheffield Wednesday. So you know, it showed what that positivity can do. Patience is one of the hardest things to do in football, but it is one of the most important. Because, you know, these things do take time. It's a game played by human beings, let's be honest. A lot of them quite young adults, you know, they need that understanding. As Leon says, if you've got a problem with a player, you know, it's really not worth expressing it during the game. Because, you know, whether you like a player or not, if he's playing for your team, you want him to do well, because you know you want your team to stay up. So it sounds a bit preachy and a bit holier than thou, but I think it really is important, you know, and that's why we're talking about, you know, particularly as we just mentioned with Huddersfield, and it applies the same to Sheffield Wednesday, the home games being so important, because if they can get that positivity, they can get people behind them. It really doesn't make it difficult for the away teams.
I think it'll be big in, I mean, it's obviously not going to be defining picture, it's what actually, you know, tangibly happens on the pitch. But you look at the teams all down there, if you like, at the bottom of the championship, not just our teams, but, you know, the Plymouths, they've been on a sticky run. I think they'd lost five home games without scoring. The music there wasn't great. You know, it's about their fans holding the nerve. It's about, you know, Birmingham, they've had a torrid run as well. You know, there's obviously big grumbles there. QPR, they've had a sticky season. And, you know, the fan base that manages to perhaps galvanise themselves and stick together, you know, a couple of percentage things here and there, that could add into the survival fight. And it could be important for one of them, couldn't it? You know, in terms of, you know, sticking together, that might mean something in the final analysis, because there's still a lot of big games to play, isn't there? You know, you look at the games on, you know, at the weekend. You know, Birmingham, they've got Coventry, Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke, Plymouth, Leicester. That's a big game at both ends of the table. So yeah, I think there's an element of supporters holding the nerves, and, you know, being the 12th man, and let's hope in terms of that particular fight that our teams can be the ones who shine in that regard. We shall see.
And next we turn to Leeds United, who fell to their first defeat of 2024 when they visited Coventry City and were defeated 2-1, with Joel Pirro getting the consolation goal for the Whites. This was then followed by their 0-0 draw when they welcomed Sunderland, which saw them return to second place. Now, what did you make of their two performances? And with just 2 points separating the top three, I think it's fair to say that we're in for one hell of an exciting end to the season, Leon.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, quite a you know, Leeds, Leicester, if you take Southampton before Ipswich as well, they've all had bumps in the road. And that, you know, unless you're extremely fortunate, someone like a Burnley last season who just ran away with it, these things happen. And I think, yeah, the worrying thing, I think Stuart was there on Saturday as well, is Leeds have dipped a bit since the since the international break, haven't they? Obviously, the draw against Watford, they weren't the best. I think the scoreline flattered them a little bit against Hull City as well. A tough gig going to Coventry, who we've mentioned quite a few times. They're one of the more able sides that's at this level, even though they've lost a few of the big players last season. They've still recruited well, and you know they're a sharp side at this level. And yeah, they looked flat for me, Leeds, yesterday. Fair play to Sunderland. I thought their tactics were spot on. They played a wing back to five-man defence. They sort of choked up the spaces that, you know, the Reuters and the Somervilles and James has liked to play in and flourish in. And I think the fact they never had a centre, I know it sounds daft, the fact that Sunderland didn't have a centre-forward probably worked for them, really, because, you know, they just... You know, they blocked off that area, you know, in front of the midfield, and, you know, very disciplined job by them, and, you know, fair play to them. I think they'd only won 1 in 10, hadn't they? And I think most people, even though the championship can be unpredictable, weren't expecting them to go to Leeds, and first side to stop them scoring since September the 2nd. But yeah, I think the worry with Leeds, you know, is about results there, but their form has dipped, hasn't it? And the performance as well. You could probably say, I don't know, Stuart, you could probably go back even further a little bit. Even when Leeds were sort of winning before the international break, they weren't really winning with a swagger. I know they got a good win against Sheffield Wednesday, but I think did they beat Stoke and it was a bit of an arm wrestle. I think they did roughly the same against Millwall as well. So, and even
so the Huddersfield game was a draw.
Even Leicester, that was. You know, it was crazy what happened at the end, but they were pretty much outplayed for a good 70 minutes of that.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, managers talk about performances turning into results and a drop off, and that is a little bit of a concern for me when you're speaking about Leeds. Look, there could be still more twists and turns to come yet, and there probably will be. I mean, Leicester aren't in a great place at all, and you know they've lost to Millwall, lost to Bristol City, and plenty can still happen. But yeah, that's my sort of concern with Leeds. I think it'll be. I don't know, Stuart. I know you're doing the game on Saturday. What is it, Blackburn?
Yeah.
I think it's a big selection call for Farker. Look, he's probably given them the benefit of the doubt after Coventry, which, you know, I possibly would have done as well, really. Coventry are a good side. Leeds had a bad day, but teams can get beat. When you're in for promotion, that's a hard fixture going to Coventry. Leeds lost that. He's given the benefit of the doubt. He's, you know, he started Bamford. He stuck with him. It didn't happen for him. Not singling him out. There were others too, but it didn't happen for him against Sunderland. It didn't happen for Reuter. It didn't particularly happen for James as well. What do you do with your selection for Saturday? He's got, you know, he has got options. He's got Pirro. He could start with him. He could start with Joseph. You know, sometimes when you're going for automatic promotion, you know, throwing in a bit of a, I don't know if the right phrase, a bit of a wild card, someone to provide you with a bit of a catalyst. He's a young lad who's, you know, he got his goal against Chelsea. A bit of an unknown quantity to some championship defenders. Is it the time for him? That's going to be the fascinating one for Saturday, because he, you know, he's been quite settled and consistent with his team selections. But you know, I think he's going to have some, particularly, you know, with his forward options. Which way does he go against Blackburn? Does he put Connor in Connor Robertson at right back? Does he put Gray into midfield? Because I thought Kamara looked a bit. He looked a bit leggy. I thought on Tuesday. That's not picking on him either. But
he was poor at Coventry as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the selection could be massive for Saturday, because that is a game that Leeds do. You know, we talk about muscle. Leeds really do need to win that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to go back to what we were talking before about, you know, the crowd lifting the players, obviously that's what Leeds are looking for,
yeah.
Helen Rowe, but it's always a two-way street, and maybe just chucking them a bit of red meat in the form of putting Matteo Joseph's name on the team sheet might do it. You know, managers, Parker was asked this in the press conference before the Coventry game, and you know, as is normally the case with him, everything he said was quite sensible about, you know, well, this is a kid who scored one goal versus Patrick Bamford, who's done all that he's done. You know, works his proverbials off and wears the centre backs down to make it easier for him and all that sort of thing. And it all makes sense. And, you know, often when a team's losing, it's our sort of knee jerk reaction to say, well, chucking the kids and all this sort of thing. And, you know, managers who've been there and done it are a bit resistant to it. But maybe just in these circumstances, that could just be the thing, because Leeds have been flat and they just feel like they need a spark. And, it might even be that Joseph comes in and doesn't play that well, but just seeing his name on a team sheet might just give the fans that little bit extra, which in turn, you know, gives the players that little bit extra. It's a really difficult one, and nobody knows better how to do it than Daniel Farke. He certainly knows a lot more than us three about it all. But, you know, looking from the outside, you do think about that. And as I say, as Leon says, he's got options. I mean, you know, you don't tend to think about Jadon Anthony, but there's a Premier League player you've got to come in. As Leon says, I think if he's got 90 minutes or even an hour in his legs, I think it might be a good time for Conor Roberts to come in and free Archie Gray into midfield. You don't want to rip things up and start again. You don't want to make too many changes, but it just does feel like they just need something to give them a bit of a kick, because the momentum and a bit of the energy has just gone out of that team for the last couple of weeks, and they just need jump starts, it feels.
Yeah, I mean, they've got options as well. Sure, as you touched on Anthony as well. Yeah, you just think for Leeds, you know, well-being. And look, they're still in a very good place, aren't they? And the numbers are good, but you know, a performance and a victory against Blackburn, and that will give them something. They've obviously got the two away games after that. They've got to go to Borough, who've improved, and potentially could be sticky, I suppose, and QPR as well, where I know Leeds' record down there is lousy, isn't it, as well? So, you know, you just feel that they need the points and something just to sort of galvanise them and get them going again, because they're away performances. You sort of look at them, and, you know, we're speaking about recent performances. They've not been scintillating, have they, of late? I mean, they've obviously, they lost at Coventry. They nicked a draw against Watford. To be fair, they won at Sheffield Wednesday, and then I did the Huddersfield game, and that was a struggle for Leeds as well. You know, obviously, they got out of jail a bit with the equaliser in the second half, and even though they played an extra man in that half, they weren't massively convincing. So I just think they need, you know, a big, big game on Saturday for a lot of reasons, just to try and win and get the mojo back for the last three games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the margins are so tight, you feel like they just need that one little thing. You know, I understand why he didn't, but if the referee had seen that Luke O'Neill handball,
yes, should have said that.
We might have been talking about that. You know, at both ends of the table, there's so little in it that it really won't take much to tip it one way or the other. But you know, you do worry with that title race about whoever drops it into third place and has to go through the playoffs. So, well, I say, regardless of that, you want to see them get the job done, and it is within their grasp, because we're not talking about a bad team. We're not talking about a disastrous run. We're talking about small margins, but small margins are going to make the difference.
Absolutely.
And next we turn our attention to Sheffield Wednesday, who claimed a crucial 2-0 victory over Queen's Park Rangers before they played out a 2-2 draw when they welcomed Norwich City to Hillsborough. Now, what were your thoughts on the two performances, and do you think Danny Rowles' men can keep up the pressure on those around them to hopefully secure survival, Stuart?
Well, I mean, if you'd have asked me at half-time in the game on Tuesday, it felt exactly what I was just saying about Huddersfield in terms of one step forward and then another step backwards. Obviously, a massive win for them at QPR. That was just what they needed as well after the run they'd been on. But the first 5 minutes or so, they were pretty good against Norwich City. But you know, playing against a good team, they made had a couple of sloppy moments, and it really seemed to affect them. You know, that's the flip side of a nervous home crowd and nervous players, and they did really well to haul it back. And what was good about the way they hauled it back was that, you know, Danny Rowles such a philosopher when it comes to football. He's always, you know, like Liam Rossini, like a few of the others, he was always talking in those terms. David Wagner was joking with him afterwards. He said, you turned into the German Tony Pulis there. They just went route one. They put Callum Patterson on. They played to his strengths and they did what was necessary. But yeah, doing what is necessary seems to me to be a bit of a theme about Sheffield Wednesday. And I hope I'm proven wrong about this, but I talked about it recently. I think in the last 12 games, every time they've had the opportunity to get out of the relegation zone, they've failed to win. Every time it's not been on the line, they have won. It feels like they're absolutely desperate to not get out of the relegation zone until the last 5 minutes at the Stadium of Light on the final game of the season. But they do just need a result somewhere to make life a bit easier for them. But there's, you know, there's spirit in there, there's quality in there. They just need to make that extra step. And you just feel like getting out of the relegation zone could have such a big bearing on you know, the mood of the fan base, the mood of the players. But it's just that glass ceiling for them at the moment. They just can't get through. And any time it happens in the next few games, I think it could be potentially massive. But you know, managers always say, and they're dead right, it, you know, if you're not playing well, don't lose. And that was the thing about that game. You know, 78th minute was the first goal. Two goals from corners, which is practically unheard of. I think the last time Sheffield Wednesday did that, they didn't have the word Sheffield in the name. So it feels that long ago. But yeah, such a big deal for them to score a couple of goals from corners to show a bit of fight. But they just need to make that next step, get above that dotted line.
Yeah, it could be one of those. Yeah, it's interesting that stat about not, you know, being in the bottom three and having the chance to get out of it. I remember years and years ago, I won't bore you, but Middlesbrough weren't in the bottom three until the last day of the season. They played Sheffield Wednesday and they lost, and they were in the bottom three. So maybe for Sheffield Wednesday, say something else, they go to Sunderland last day. Maybe that's the day that they can maybe get out of it. And the thing that I've probably got to respect about Wednesday is that, you know, they've got a fairly strong jaw, haven't they? They've had a few old wallops this season. You know, you think of the Huddersfield game in February, and that would, you know, they had an absolutely madcap 20 minutes there. I did the Middlesbrough game, I touched on it last week, and after the first goal, Wednesday were horrendous. You know, it was a real shocking performance, and Danny Roll was rightly furious. He's sort of thinking, well, are they going to haul themselves off the canvas and steady themselves? And they have, haven't they? They obviously had adversity in the game Stuart went to in midweek against Norwich, eked out a point there, and a great win at QPR. So yeah, I think the spirit and the heart is there. It's just three more hills to climb, isn't it? They've obviously the home form's been pretty good, hasn't it? I mean, I think they've only had one in seven. They're reasonably consistent. You know, what they would give for an away win now, and they've obviously got Blackburn, who might be under pressure as well, going on the last day to Sunderland. But I've still got a funny feeling down there that there might be another page to write for Sheffield Wednesday yet, and they're still in the game, and hopefully the best is yet to come. And you know, I think it's important to remember as well, months and months ago, that they'd probably taken this, wouldn't they? And it's still the potential to be a great story there this season, and they're still in it.
And I do think that's important. I think there's a belief amongst the fan base as well in Danny Rowe. You know, things were going badly in the first half of that game, but they were still singing his name in the second half when they were 2-0 down. And I think there is that quiet confidence because they've been backed into a corner so many times, as Leon says, and fought their way out, that they can do it. But obviously it's running out of time. You know, confidence is one thing, but they need to do it. But I share Leon's belief that I do think they can do it.
Yeah, and they've got a couple of changes quickly. They've got Stoke, they've got Blackburn. They're not quite out of it yet, are they? No. They're just nearly there, but nearly there is not being there, isn't it? So, you know, if they can, Wednesday can get a win against Stoke, they, you know, that'll have a double good vibe for them potentially.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll make the final day of the season that little bit more enjoyable for the Owls fans.
Yeah,
And finally this week, I turned to Stuart for his player of the week before looking to Leon for his team of the week. So, Stuart, who has grabbed your attention this week?
Well, I'd certainly like to give a mention to Luke Molyneux, who had a, I think it's fair to say, a difficult start to life at Doncaster Rovers. Not as productive as he wanted to be in his first season in a bit, in terms of goals in particular, but two goals for them to keep that bandwagon rolling. You know, seven wins on the trot is pretty formidable form, really, by Doncaster Rovers. Hopefully they might be able to squeeze into the playoffs. You do worry that the clock might run out of them, but I'm going to go for Fabio Carvalho at Hull City, which is a bit of a gamble, because we're talking before the game against Middlesbrough, and I think only after that will we know if those two goals he scored at the weekend has really kick-started Hull City's playoff push again, or if it was a bit of a blip. But that was a really big win for Hull. I've been impressed with, you know, the way, obviously he's got a track record from his time at Fulham, but with the way he's delivered since he's come on loan for them. I say potentially that could have been a really big win, but we'll have to wait for the next couple of games to sort of see the context of that.
Yeah. And Leon?
Yeah, team in the wheel. Yeah, I suppose one or two candidates, but there's really a standout one, isn't there? I mean, fair play to Middlesbrough. They're seven unbeaten. They've won five of them, and I think they've only conceded the one goal as well in five games, which is pretty commendable, given that they've had, you know, a midfielder and captain in Johnny Howson playing at centre half. Obviously, they, you know, by the time we're out, we'll know the result against Hull. But you've got to say Doncaster, haven't you? Yeah. Seven wins on the trot. First time in, was it 77 years? And that league table that they put up in the canteen at Cantley Park isn't half working, isn't it? You know, that they put up at the start of February. I mean, that's one of the great psychological moves of the season. Stuart's probably right. They probably are, you think they might probably just run out of games. But while it's still there, and I think they've got a couple of home games, haven't they? They've got, is it Accrington and Barrow? So, you know, I think they won five or six on the trot at home as well, which is, you know, pretty impressive given they've had a few issues there in recent times. So, yeah, you've got to say Doncaster Rovers all day long. The form side, not just in League Two, but in the EFL really. And you know, given we've spoken quite a few times about, you know, the final third of the season petering out, not just once, but I think on, you know, in the previous three seasons, it's a real positive step in the right direction. And you know, even if Rovers do miss out, as probably does seem likely, they've had plenty to savour in the last bit of the season. It's much needed, you know, given where they have been in recent seasons.
Yeah, and the thing is, if they do miss out, it's not like they've not got much to build on next season. Yeah. And hopefully go for another push.
And they've started building on that with new contracts as well, some existing squads. So, yeah, positive all round. And as Leo says, I mean, they could have been team of the week most weeks for the last couple of months. They've been so consistent. So, yeah, good choice.
Yeah. And if they do get in the playoffs, you won't want to play them.
No,
definitely.
No. YorkshirePost.co.uk.
Many thanks to Stuart Rayner and Leon Wobshall, who will doubtless join us again soon for more discussions on the Yorkshire football scene. But don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging onto our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com. Or if you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. If you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com. As ever, many thanks for listening, look after yourselves, and bye for now.